Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Monday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville. Or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Waxhaw.
Waxhaw?
Waxhaw, Waxhoff.
That's right.
Yes.
You know, I just had lunch with my friends, Isaac and Tyler Jumper. Tyler, Isaac's wife. Isaac is a avid listener.
Tyler is a woman.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So Tyler, I've talked about them before. Tyler has kind of like jumped on the bandwagon of this podcast. But
we have bandwagon fans on this podcast?
Yeah. Like, okay. You know, if we talk about certain things, she'll get in. But she's not like an avid.
She's not locked in.
She told me she can predict what's going to be said in this show based on the title and like talking about the ads and stuff.
Right.
So I challenge you to change it up a little bit just to prove her wrong. She is predicting exactly what's said, and she talks about the ads. Brian's going to say this, then Robbie's going to say this back.
Okay.
Little
call and response?
Yeah. I mean, we might have to change it up a little bit to throw her off her game.
The problem with that is, and as you know this, because
that's going to mess you up.
It's going to mess me up, and we're going to end up doing a Two Brothers read twice or something, which is great for Two Brothers, but not great for everybody else. We'll see what I can do. In the meantime, if you want to enjoy great Strange Brew Coffee, it's right out there for you, strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. You were just telling me you enjoyed a fantastic tri-tip yesterday at your fantasy football draft.
Yep, our buddy Nathan Kelly, who asked a question for the Rumblings.
An inane question.
Yes. So we did breakfast this year or it was more like brunch.
Mm-hmm.
And Nathan did steak and eggs. We had some bacon sausage. I brought some biscuits, some fruit.
Mm.
It was we had donuts.
Donuts.
Kolaches.
Ooh.
We were locked and loaded yesterday. So that tri-tip was
that's something I miss about fantasy football. You know, I play in a league now, but it's just a Zoom draft. I do miss the old days of getting together and having the big.
Well, we've got to get back on track. We had six there yesterday. We have 10 people now, and we had six yesterday. So
what's going on there?
We've got to get back on track.
Yeah, I agree.
It used to be an event. The food was great yesterday. The tri-tip was excellent.
There you go.
From L&M in Louisville, by the way. If you've never been. You need to go. If you go through Louisville,
there was a thread on three about local butcher shops. I'm telling you guys, these places are out there, and you can find some great cuts of beef. So go check them out. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. I tweeted it out earlier. They've put together basically a store within a store for you guys. It's the interlocking store. It's on my Twitter if you want to find it. Everything they've got interlocking, polos, T-shirts, hats, just miscellaneous gear. If you're looking for interlocking gear, that's the place to get it at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Floyd by the Half Shell. You can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is always going to be at Restaurant Tyler. I know right now downtown Starkville is a mess. By the way, I got to tell you. So I wanted to drive up to campus today. I was gonna try to run a longer distance than I've run before. I got about halfway through and I was like, it's too hot.
Today was miserable.
So this is how my morning went. I leave the house at like 7:50, and it occurred to me, I was like, wait a minute. I just saw the Chelsea starting lineup tweet. That's an hour before kick, always. I thought the game was at 9. Nope, it was at 8. So I turned back around, went home, watched the game. I could have left. It was nothing. It was 0-0. So I was like, after the game, it's 10 o'clock. I'm like, all right, I'm going to try this again. That was my mistake. If I had gone at 8, like I originally, I think I could have done it. But anyway, long story short, I'm coming down Main Street, and you know, you can only go one way. Nope. Somebody decided they were just going to use that lane and go the other way. So I'm just sitting there at the four-way stop having to wait for them to get through the road. And it's like, guys, let's just be a little smarter.
Welcome.
Or let's just be a little smarter with how we're
Welcome
driving.
to
Yeah.
hell.
Anyway, long story short, I know it's a traffic nightmare at downtown around Restaurant Tyler, but that doesn't mean you don't need to go and support our local businesses. Not only Restaurant Tyler, but all of those great businesses down there in downtown. Get it, we'll work yourself out with the parking. It'll be okay. Find a place to park and then go enjoy a fantastic meal with our good friends at Restaurant Tyler.
Just that's where I just came from.
There you go. So if Robbie can make it work, you can too.
75% chance I will be at Restaurant Tyler on Sunday afternoons after church. It's right by my church.
That's a high percentage.
I was thinking about it today. I was like, do I go here 50% of the time or would it be higher? And I think it might be
But is
75.
it not 66 and two-thirds repeating percent of eating a Red Restaurant Tyler at Sacrifice?
Did you hear Bron Breakker's
Yeah.
Steiner math the other day?
Yes. I'm at
Whenever he
47 years.
you're
Oh,
like
look at all that.
You're like 40 years old and you're like 47. You're basically both combined 100 years old.
Steiner math.
Love
It
it.
never fails.
Love it.
They don't use Steiner math at Priority One Bank.
Oh.
Thank goodness for that. Otherwise, if the interest rates were 33 and a third repeating percent, that might be a problem. But what they do at Priority One Bank is provide a different kind of service, a level of service you're not going to get at every bank. All right. Everybody knows about your money. Who knows you, the person, the customer? That's what you get at Priority One Bank. 16 locations in Central Mississippi means if you live in Central Mississippi, you live near one. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority.
You talked about the downtown stuff,
Yeah.
and I think it's going to be really nice.
It's going to be great when we get there, but the process is going to be painful.
It sucks right now, but and so does 182. But when we get through this, I think Starkville is going to be really, really cool. Downtown all the way into the Cotton District. Some really exciting news coming pretty soon, I believe, maybe even on Monday. Expecting at some point an announcement on a new. Really nice upscale hotel, right in the middle of the Cotton District. We are expecting at some point that Grant Library thing coming to fruition.
Yeah.
Just a lot of cool stuff happening in Starkville and really kind of connecting the university and Starkville as a whole. I think it's going to be really exciting for the
I
future.
agree. It's gonna be awesome. All right, we got some good stuff on today's show. We've got a interview just a little later for an opponent preview about Northern Illinois. But we've also got a Jeff Lebby's press conference interview from this past Saturday when he spoke to the media after the second scrimmage. Second scrimmage, kind of second verse, same as the first, where we're hearing that the defense once again has been good. I don't
Were
know.
they intentional?
From all indications, the people in the building told me that.
They strain?
That there was definitely some strain.
Okay.
The people within those walls were quite adamant about that.
Oh, good.
So anyway. How are we taking the news that the defense seems to be having the upper hand? Are we looking at it and goes, okay, they're way improved, they're better, or are we going to play the we're concerned about the offense
I think
card?
I was the same way last week. Like I think I would rather hear the defense right now is like
Week
winning.
one, yes, I would have liked for week two for the offense to have come back and stride.
I want this defense to be so much better than last year that I mean it's okay to me if they're having the better days. But I get what you're saying too. Like if this is still probably at best a middle of the pack defense, which I think is probably the ceiling if that happens. Your offense should be winning a good bit. And that's not to say it hasn't. And maybe that's Jeff Lebby's way of trying to light a fire under his offense a little bit more. I don't know. Coaches sometimes have the ability to do that. I like hearing that the defense is having good days. They're forcing turnovers, that they're getting the backfield and they're getting sacks and they're getting stops, so it's not really too alarming to me right now. I think this offense is going to be able to get going and get together, so I'm not really too concerned about it.
Yeah. I think that I will say this. I can take a lot more positive.
Sorry.
What just happened?
I accidentally put I you know I've I fidget with things.
Yes.
I accidentally pushed
Oh, you pushed Jim Ellis there.
Yeah, that's my
Yeah, there
bad.
you go. Okay.
I'm glad you can push it and it stops. That would have been
Yeah, that
bad
would
if
have
it
been
was
bad. I
stuck
had to
in the
listen to the
bowl.
whole thing there. I still laugh that you didn't realize that you owned that thing for over a year and didn't realize it talked.
My daughter was the one that pointed it out.
That's so great. I will say that any good news on the defensive side, I'm gonna hold on to that, right? Because they were so bad a season ago that anything coming out. I like that that they feel good about it, that this Jones and Jet Jefferson, the Triple J pairing that we're going to see at the cornerback position, that Jet Jefferson
Jones and Jet.
they seem
Jet
to have
Jones. Chet and Jones. Jones and Jet. Jones.
First off, we got to just Jet Jefferson. We're out with that one name, Jetterson.
Jetterson.
Yeah,
I kind of like Jet
it's kind of
Jefferson.
like what Vince McMahon would do. You're no longer Austin Theory. You're just Theory.
You're just Jetterson.
You're just Jetterson now. And I think that's the way we're going to
We're
go
going to
with it.
put wings on you.
Yes, exactly. You're going to fly. That's some good news. 2 weeks in a row, defensive line has gotten a lot of praise. And think you and we've talked about Levy before. Not you know, he doesn't throw praise out super liberally, right? He's one of his favorite things to say is we still got a lot of work to do. Things like that. But he's been very, very high on them thus far. Now, this is the problem with scrimmages,
Is the
right?
offensive line just bad?
Exactly. You can't just take something positive from the scrimmage. It has to be, well, what did the other side of the ball do? And, we know that this offensive line, they're trying to come together. They've got faces that weren't even there in the spring that are going to expect to be big contributors. I think Blake Steen and Flapjack Owens have both made big strides and expect to, if not start, be massive contributors early in the season. I think Jimothy Lewis is coming along, and I think that's a situation where you may just have to let him take some lumps. Just put him out there, let him get better. He might struggle a little early, but you figure that out.
I love the name Jimothy.
Well, I always think of The Office,
Yeah.
where he says he called him Jimothy for some reason. I know he's like, James? No. Jimothy. There you go.
And by the end of the, but if he's really good, he's just going to become Himothy.
Yes.
That's where that's headed.
Yes. I like that, actually. He's Himothy. The offensive good news kind of feels more sporadic, but the defensive good news has been 2 weeks in a row of, yeah, they've been good. And said I don't really know what to take which way to take it. I feel like Lebby, in the times we've talked to him this preseason camp, the confidence seems to be there. He doesn't seem like a coach who is trying to tell us to brace ourselves for a long season. He doesn't sound like a coach who doesn't think they can reach some goals this year. But at the same time, I would love to have one day where he comes out and goes, man, offensively, we were just clicking today. Shaping the ball was good. We were throwing the ball well. We moved the ball on the ground. We had some explosive plays in the I would like to have one practice like that where he comes out and he says that.
Wouldn't we all? I mean, I just don't think you're going to get anything as far as like him heaping praise or talking down on a certain group. Like, it's just not how he is. So it's like we said last week, we were talking about the reaction to it, or the videos that were coming out and the people were taking away different things. You can take away whatever you want to from a scrimmage. Like, if you want the defense to be bad, you can say the defense was bad, or vice versa. If you want something to be good, then you can find something that would agree with your point. But at the end of the day, until we actually see for ourselves, I mean, it's all kind of just guessing for us right now. Like
It is.
it really is kind of a shot in the dark right now on what this team will look like in 2025. So I am just anxiously awaiting August 30th and seeing Mississippi State against another team and seeing how they adjust throughout a game and things aren't. Because here's another thing. Scrimmages are often scripted. That like you're trying different things and you're putting your it's not like you're doing things on the fly all the time. So, there's a lot of things that this team's going to have to do that's reactionary. And How often have they done that to this point? I don't know. And that goes for everybody. Mississippi State's not the only team dealing with that, but I'm just saying I don't know how much we can truly gauge from just talking to Jeff Lebby. You know, we talked to our sources on stuff and we get a little bit on what's going on. I think Paul put up some notes yesterday. If you guys want to go check that out on Murray White Daily, just a few notes here and there. That it's so closed off, it's hard to get it, but there's just not much that I mean, Jeff Lebby could come in there and just straight up lie to us. I'm not saying he
That's true.
isn't, but like he could come in and say the offense was absolutely putrid and they were actually pretty
That's
good.
my word. I would call him out on that if he said
Yeah.
that.
So, like, we're at the point now where you're claiming everything. Like, nobody can
Here's
use
what I've
anything. We
determined.
can't use the elbow drop, we can't use butt steel, and now we can't use putrid. And what else do we
I
have?
mean, that's how you have to.
Nobody can grill. Well,
No,
you can grill.
other people can grill. I didn't invent that. I didn't, you know, I
You
didn't, I
didn't,
didn't.
did you invent the Macho Man elbow?
I invented using it as a way of saying, wow, you really got them
I
there.
doubt it.
Can you prove otherwise?
No, I
Well, then
can't.
I guess we just have to go with. Have you not looked around America today? You just say stuff and it happened. It is what it is. No one questions you. Say whatever you want out there.
Okay, I created the internet.
I guess so. I didn't know that about you, but Robbie
Can
Falk.
I get my royalties
You go,
or?
what's up with that internet money, buddy?
I mean,
No, you don't get anything.
it's my truth.
Well, I mean, you're welcome to try. I would encourage it. I'm sure our friends at the Voller Law Firm would love to take your business.
I'm gonna get Austin to take me to. We're gonna go to court. We're gonna sue the NCAA. Just
To sue
just.
you in England.
I don't know what I'm suing them about, but
It
I'm gonna
doesn't matter.
sue them and I'm gonna
Yeah.
win.
You're gonna win. Well, I mean,
Hey,
nobody loses
I
to
want
them.
4 years of eligibility.
You've got it.
Can you give me 4 years of eligibility?
Done.
I went to junior college for 2 years, but
Six years.
good. I
Done.
can't play anything, but
Yeah, you're fine. Let's hear from Coach Lebby now. Jeff Lebby talked to the media on Saturday after the scrimmage in the Steve Golding and family media room. A couple of really handsome questions in there. I'm sure you'll look forward to hearing those.
what do you think the Goldings think of they're like overseeing the media? Like,
I think it was done purposefully.
do you think that they
I
were?
think our guy Austin was like, this is for Haydad. This is for Haydad and Falk. This is
He just
they.
tried to class it up a little bit.
Yeah. They have an entrance to the stadium too, so you know they're doing okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jeff Lebby, after Saturday's scrimmage, here's what he had to say.
Coach, what changes for you guys from scrimmage one to scrimmage two? I mean, is the play calling different, or are you expecting more from them as camp kind of ramps up?
Yeah, I mean, the installs have continued to build as we've moved through camp, right? So the call sheet today was different both sides of the ball than it was last week. And so I think that's natural. Again, for our guys, we're trying to create some stress for them, make it as hard as we can right now in the moment so that when we get to game plan, man, they're able to dial into that, and it does. It streamlines it, and it makes it easier.
You know, when we started this camp, I asked you about retention. I would imagine at this point it's more about progression. Do you see the progression from week one to week two that you're wanting to see?
Yeah, you do with a bunch of the guys sitting in the chair that I'm sitting in, you want more. You constantly want more. That's not ever going to change. And so the stress is regardless of who's out there, whether it's the ones, the twos, the threes, whoever it is, the stress is, man, being able to execute. And so there's been this great amount of growth for a bunch of guys, and there's a bunch of guys that got to get a heck of a lot better. And so man, that's where the strain is. I think that's part of coaching. That's part of leading and trying to find ways to get the most out of them every single day and get these guys where they need to be.
Before watching the film and breaking all that down, what caught your attention today? What stood out?
Yeah, I think, again, defensively, we had great energy, made some huge plays in some short yardage situations where we were able to get off the field defensively to end a couple of drives early in the scrimmage, and that created real momentum. Which again, I thought was great to see. So, I did. I thought the energy, the toughness, the attitude, and the edge. Man, we're getting close to where we want to be from that standpoint. We got to continue to play cleaner and play better and create depth. But the mentality and the edge right now, I'm proud of where our guys are defensively.
There's been a lot of talk about the depth that you've added on the defensive line, but you added a lot of experience in terms of snaps on the back end as well with the safeties. Are you seeing kind of complementary skill sets there as you're evaluating who's going to play what role?
Yeah, absolutely. A guy like J-Man who's come in and he's played a bunch of ball. He's been very productive. He's going to have a great year for us and excited about who he is and where he's at right now as he's fitting into it.
You know, between the portal and some of your freshmen, a couple of JUCO guys, you had a bunch of people who weren't here for the spring. Do you feel like those guys are about as up to speed as they can be at this point?
Yeah, it's a race, man. Like we're those guys that have now practiced with us 13 times, they've got to get every rep, they've got to get every walk, they got to get every minute of every day to be ready to roll and play the way we need to go play on August 30th. And so the process for those guys has been sped up. But again, we got a bunch of new offensive linemen that we've got to come together as a unit there. I think physically we have the bodies. We've got to continue to come together inside that room to go be able to play 7-8 guys and play winning football.
Coaching the portal wide receiver always appears to be a priority to you. You took some guys that have a ton of potential but not a lot of college-level production, guys like Ant, of course, and Brennan. How have they performed so far, and what are your expectations for them?
Yeah, my expectations for both those guys are to be not good players but great players for us. I love their skill set. I love how they've attacked every day. They've practiced every day. They've taken care of themselves. They've had really good production. So excited about both those guys.
2 weeks until the opening game now. At what point do you start moving from the installation, the cleaning up the installation, to it's time to finalize things and then start working towards the first opponent and, for that matter, the first month of the season?
Yeah, tomorrow will really be a day as we're in the office to dial in on depth charts and from a special team standpoint, hey, these are the guys that are going to be on the bus. This is exactly where we're going to end up. And there's going to be great competition as we move through next week, but there'll be a lot of scout work next week as we get ready for the first few opponents. And that'll be important, you know, for our guys to be able to, again, have this great amount of growth and get ready to go while some of our guys' roles are going to be changing. And so that was something we talked about, you know, after the scrimmage just a minute ago. And some guys got to make sure we're buying into their role as we get ready to go change the format of practice, how we do what we do.
Anybody on offense kind of catch your attention today, and how was Blake?
Yeah, I mean, Vaughn and Fluff, Colin did some good things. Johnny did some good things. I thought all four of those backs really had a pretty solid day and were productive. Blake was solid, you know, took care of the football, and that was good to see. I thought he, from a decision-making standpoint, was in a really good spot. And then the other two guys, you know, with Luke and Camario, both those guys and had solid days. And again, it's all about the ball, man, taking care of the rock. And those guys did that today. We had one fumble on an exchange that was an issue. And outside of that, we were much cleaner there, which we needed to be.
I asked you last week if any guys on both sides of the line had started to separate themselves. And you said, let you get through another scrimmage and 2 weeks of camp, and you might name some names. Or are there a couple guys that have kind of separated themselves over there?
Yeah, I think on the D-line, when you think about it, whether it's Will Whitson, new guys, right, and Will Whitson and Jare, Jamil, as those new guys have gotten in, they've done a really nice job for us. And you think about Deontay and Bam Bam and Dink and B-Gen and Malik Silla. Malik's the only new one of those guys that I just named. But, again, guys that I feel like can go play winning football for us. So, man, at that position, you got to play multiple guys. And I think that's, again, I've said it, that's probably what I'm most excited about, is feeling as if we've got a chance to have maybe 9-10 guys to go play winning football with. And that's where there's been this great amount of growth. And, again, we're not anywhere close to where we need to be, but that's going to give us a chance.
Coach, kind of back to the roster composition as you move forward. Every young player comes in here thinking they're going to start and win the Heisman. When you begin to transition from competition role to kind of scout team role, how do you communicate that to the player to continue to get the buy-in from them you need?
Yeah, through conversation and meeting with those guys. And, again, it's coming from me every single day, man. Everybody on our football team inside that locker room, inside our building, has a role. Buy into that role. Embrace the role and become the best version of yourself you can possibly be. And to me, that's life, and that's the real world. And so if I can get guys to buy into just doing that every day, one, they're going to practice the way we need them to practice. They're going to have great energy and appreciation for their, you know, for their opportunity. And so we're stressing that nonstop, but it's through conversation and time.
Related to Steve's question, the first thing you said on signing day last December was you improved the team depth. You repeated that in spring. Can we fully appreciate how much practice has changed this preseason that you actually have depth to practice with and a viable scout team?
Yeah, I mean, again, today we were over 110 snaps, which was really, really good. I'm not certain, but I want to say last year's second scrimmage we were right around 80 to 85, and it was 1,000% because of bodies. And so, again, we're gonna go practice the way we need to practice just to give ourselves, you know, a chance, and that's going to be big for us.
Jordan and Blake both told us Thursday that how disappointed they were about how the offense looked in that first scrimmage. Did you see from the veterans how they really took on ownership of that and wanted to make it better this time?
Yeah, I think with our guys offensively, there's incredible accountability, and there's been leadership in that room, and now it's a game of doing. It always will be, and that's going to be forever the thing for us. You know, game of execution, game of doing. And our guys feel that, they understand that, and that's something that they've continued to preach and will continue to preach as we get closer.
It's okay. Don't worry about it.
I get so nervous when I hear that. When I hear that recording is begun, it makes me nervous.
Yeah. So you hear from Levy there. And again, that sounded like Levy there. Again. I thought something that I found interesting is that this year he seems more willing to name players. He talked about all the defensive linemen he thought were playing well. He talked about some of the offensive linemen he thought were playing well. I feel like he is trying to – it's so tough to read him. I would not want to play poker with Jeff Levy. But I feel like the read I'm getting is this team can be the best version of itself. Does that make sense? Where, you know,
well, he just feels like a little more comfortable.
I think so. I think he does, and that's good though. That's him having confidence in his team, having confidence in what he's seeing out there on the practice field. I feel like the messaging that he would give, which is subtle, it's subtle, but it would lean more towards, you know, we got a lot of work to do. We're not anywhere near where we need to be.
Every coach is saying.
They say that, but he's saying it less this year than he was last year. So
yeah.
I'm gonna take that as a positive.
Yeah, I think so. I have gotten a different vibe about him this year. I can't really, you know, put my finger on it, but I listened to the interview you had with him last week. I thought he was pretty upfront and honest in it. I thought he had some good thoughts in there, and he was wearing maroon. Which you and I have pointed out doesn't happen very often. He is a white and black shirt guy.
Yeah.
You didn't hear any of that, but that's fine.
You said about the maroon shirt, the Jeff Levy wear maroon challenge.
Can you at least pretend like you're listening?
He's a white or black shirt guy.
Okay. Can you pretend like, yeah? Can we bounce?
I am listening.
Can we bring our personality?
This is the thing. All right, hold on. Everybody says that I talk over you and you talk over me, so I'm letting you talk.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you son of a... That's my thing. I have.
Oh, you're.
I have Macho Man elbow gifs. I have. But yeah, but still, I have putrid, and I have. So you can't do that. Those four things that are mine. Get your own shticked, buddy.
I'm just giving you a little bit of test of your own medicine.
I was listening. You were talking about the Jeff Levy because I texted you right after the interview, and I was. After the interview where I said the Jeff Levy wear maroon challenge has finally been achieved. It shocked me. Like I literally said something to him, by the way. Like he comes up on screen. First thing I said, he's at his desk and he's got all these like Adidas shoes. I was like, that's a pretty cool collection you got back there. And he's like, oh, thank you. And, And then I went, wait a minute. And he looks at me. I'm like, you're wearing maroon. And he goes, yeah. I was like, all right, me and Robbie have this thing called the Jeff Levy Wear Maroon Challenge because you don't ever wear maroon. It's like you're always wearing a white shirt or a black shirt. He's like, oh, yeah, I went and spoke to the band today. I was like, well, there you go.
So, the band, the famous maroon band.
The famous maroon band. So I actually let Levy in on our little inside joke there, our little bit.
It really is interesting. But, no, I thought he was very upfront and honest in that interview. And I thought last time you talked to him, too, on the SEC Media Days episode was good.
Yeah.
He is.
Maybe I just bring out the best in him. I don't know.
He might. He might. I don't know. But I think he's doing that more and more. I think he is opening up a little bit, and that's what people want.
They want to get to know their coach.
And honestly, like, I just think that's who Levy is. Like, I just think he's kind of like just a laid back personality.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think that he's not being genuine.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think he's one of the more genuine coaches Mississippi State's had.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, they've had probably three or four in a row. Mm-hmm. If you want to think of it that way. I mean, those guys
was super genuine, obviously. He'd tell you whatever he's
like. Morehead was very much.
Here's the thing. Arnett was until he became the head coach.
And then he was like,
the defensive coordinator, I'll tell you exactly what was on his mind.
And then he was too worried about
he had some of the wrong people in his ear. I
don't think Levy's like worried about that.
No, I don't either.
I thought it was good. I thought the repressor was fine. He's starting to come around and he does have confidence in this team.
I agree.
And that confidence is great. It's great to have confidence in your players and to show that to them. But until we see them on the field, we just don't know.
He can have that confidence.
Yeah.
We can't have that confidence.
Correct.
I did ask him. I told him it was a little bit of ours. Like, oh, do you have any other bits?
He asked if we had bits.
And I said, no, not really. He's like, really? You don't have any other bits? So
did he really
no,
ask?
No, he didn't really ask if we had any other bits. Everybody has bits.
That's like Hevesy when you had to like you were put on the
Niblet sabotaged me. Just straight up was like, hey, that one of these guys does an impression of you, and then hits Niblet or Hevesy gets to the podium. All right, here one of you does an impression of me. Let me hear it. I was just like,
he wasn't very happy about
crap. Yeah, he wasn't.
Every single person turned around and looked at you like.
And I was like, well, I guess I gotta go, and I did it, and he didn't think it was very good. Which is crap because it's spot on.
He didn't think it was very good because he didn't like what you said.
Exactly. Just talking about pumping your hips. It'll be all right. Pump your hips. Stay low. Get out of here. All right. Anyway. Kyle Niblett just sandbagged me right there. That son of a gun.
That's the Kyle Niblett
way. That's the Kyle Niblett way. You're absolutely correct. Yeah, he made fun of you, coach. Get him. Kyle Niblett is the Vince McMahon of sports information directors. All right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, the place to find the smoked Southern soul food. You all right there?
I'm just doing a little thing in my hand. I can't. Like, I'm always doing something.
Are we Wolf Pack? Are we Hook 'em? What are we doing here?
No, whatever this is.
That's a Hang 10, isn't it? This is a Samoa Joe thing, you know. Yeah.
This is Jimmy the Superfly Snooka.
I don't know if you'll be doing that one.
I don't need to go down that path.
No. Anyway, a path I would like to go down is University Drive and get to the Two Brothers Smoked Meats or the Older Brother. Both great places to eat. This football season, what a place to go if you pregame, get there, watch some football, enjoy some great food, and then make your way over to Davis Wade Stadium. This football season, make sure – and, of course, I haven't talked about it. I need to talk with Barton and make sure they're doing it, but – Two Brothers is more than happy to help cater your tailgate. So reach out to them there and find out some more information. But if you want to get a mess of smoked wings or pulled pork or whatever, they'll get you taken care of at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years. Don't say it. Don't say it. We'll throw her off.
49.
Oh. It actually is 50, though, now.
Is it 50 now?
50.
Ooh, that's really going to throw some people off.
But yeah, but shouldn't you be claiming gimmick infringement right now?
No, I don't do that.
Okay. So here's the things that you have. You have 50 and not claiming gimmick infringement. Those are Robbie Falk things. Okay. When you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. If you need a new copier, new printer, new laptops, whatever it is, The number to know is Advantage Business Systems, because not only do you get the product that you're looking for, but you get the kind of service that you're only going to find at Advantage Business Systems. They're a Mississippi business just like you. It means that when you have a problem, they can take care of it quickly, a lot of times the exact same day. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. I think we got another tweet this week, did we not, from someone who took advantage of Thunder 15?
Yes.
At Maroon & Co.
And splurged on interlocking.
Guys, you're looking for new gear. You want to show off that you are an interlocking fan. Hey, you know what? I don't even really care. If you're a StateScript fan, if you're an MMOVS fan, hell, if you're a Banner M fan, if you're one of those people, that's fine. Because everything I just mentioned, they have in spades over at Maroon & Co. Starkville's biggest and best selection of Mississippi State merchandise. Everything under one roof. Or you can use the website, maroonandco.com. Our promo code works at either. Thunder 15 takes 15% off regular price. If you're going to be in Starkville before you go to Davis Wade, you need to go to Maroon & Co. It's very hot outside.
Oh, my God.
It's a scorcher.
It has not been very hot summer.
Well, Jeff Lebby's gotten his wish.
Yeah,
he wanted it hotter.
Yesterday was
this hot. Week is hot, so maybe that's what he wanted. That's what he's going to get. But if you're somebody who has to work out in the yard, you want to get done quickly, you need some John Deere power, and our friends at Scruggs will put that with you. Go check out the great selection of John Deere mowers, tractors, gators, everything John Deere green under one roof. Whatever you're doing around the house this weekend, if you've got projects, you know, repair projects, if you're out in the garden, if you're out in the yard, if you're cooking out, wherever you're going to be, whatever you're going to do, Scruggs has something for you. So go check them out. Saltillo, Mississippi. Scruggs, they have what you want for less. All right. Little opponent preview time. And Northern Illinois, a team that this is a perfect storm, isn't it? This is a Northern Illinois, a MAC team that went to Notre Dame last year and pulled off an upset. And then the other side of the coin, Mississippi State, an SEC team that let a MAC team come here and upset them a season ago. So that's, I think, going to be a confident bunch.
And then took a couple of their players.
Which I asked.
Three of their players.
I did ask about that. So we'll talk about that. We're going to be joined now by Skylar Casellas. He is a student reporter for the Northern Star. That's their student paper up there. I would like to preach a little patience with our young friend here. You know, young guy, student reporter. You're going to hear some R and we in there. And that, you know, and when you try to, I think you guys both know what side of the fence Robbie and I sit on. But when we talk about Mississippi State, we try to do so in a manner that we're not we and are. Skylar's still learning the ropes, but I thought he gave a great interview. So let's go to that now. Skylar Casellas covering Northern Illinois for the Northern Star. All of our interviews here on Thunder and Lightning are brought to you by our friends over at Allura Modern Wellness. I didn't make my trip over there. I need to do that because I'm just sore. I'm just sore. My bones pop. My daughter asked me today, I said something about being my back was hurting. She was like, do you need to go to the doctor? And I was like, no. Well, do you know why your back's hurting? Yeah. I'm old.
Yeah, I don't think that teenagers grasp.
They don't grasp when it's coming.
When you cross the 30-year-old.
Especially as a man, you're just gonna hurt. So it's all about recovery, and it's about feeling the best you can. That's what that's where they step in Allura Modern Wellness. Heat, cold, relaxation, stretch. They've got everything under one roof that gets you feeling better. From the time you walk in the door to the time you walk out the door to Allura Modern Wellness, you're going to feel a hell of a lot better. Go see our friends over there. Use our website, AlluraModernWellness.com. You can book all of your services there, find out all the information you want. When you want to feel better, make a trip to Allura Modern Wellness. They bring you this interview with Skylar Casellas of the Northern Star. Only a couple of weeks left before we're playing real football and we can get out of previews and start talking about matchups and things like that, but we are still here. Northern Illinois is the team on the docket today. Skylar Casellas from the Northern Star covers the Huskies up there. And my first question is, we got to look back at last season. Obviously, the historic win over Notre Dame is what stands out. Northern Illinois follows that up the next week with a loss to Buffalo. And it just makes me wonder, why didn't this team take off from that win and become, you know, a top 25 team, maybe even a team that challenged for a playoff berth? Is it just because there's so much parity in the MAC, or was that just catching lightning in a bottle there at Notre Dame Stadium?
I mean, I guess you could make the argument it was a little bit of both. I mean, you make the point that there is a lot of parity in the MAC no matter the season. It's just a tough conference to be in and be associated with. And as far as just, you know, what happened in that Buffalo game, I think it was a mixture of a lot of elements. I mean, I wouldn't say the Notre Dame win was totally lightning in the bottle, but obviously everything that needed to go right went right that game. And after that, I think they just team just maybe a bit got in their own heads, maybe just got a bit complacent, and it's just a lot of self-inflicted errors there. And that was a common trend for a lot of our losses. Toledo loss on homecoming, loss on the road at Ball States. It's just one of the biggest things this team is able to do is like they can pull off the improbable, but they can also shoot themselves in the foot. So I mean, it's a bit of a double-edged sword, I guess is the best way to put it.
When you look at this particular matchup, it's very interesting because, as we mentioned, Northern Illinois goes to Notre Dame, one of the biggest upsets of the year. Mississippi State had a MAC team come to Starkville last year, and they lost to Toledo. And not only did they lose to them, that was an embarrassing loss. Toledo absolutely dominated the game. I have to feel like Northern Illinois will be very confident when they make the trip to Starkville in the middle of September.
I mean, and I think there is justification for that. Obviously, you know, Toledo going into Starkville and just, laying down a beating on the Bulldogs right there. But the case with this team, it's like this is not the same team as last year. You know, a lot of overhaul of your starters. I mean, most of you, I think they only bring back four or five starters total on the entire across all three phases of the game. So, I mean, you can't run in with too much confidence because obviously you have to gauge how this team is going to perform in that week one game and week two against Maryland as well. But, you know, knowing like seeing that you're able to keep up with Toledo last year and that, you know, the talent hasn't been too much of a drop off. Hammack said at the NIU Media Day the other day that, you know, this team is very much more talented than last year's, not as deep, but still you have the talent there. So I think they can go in with confidence, but also some healthy skepticism, I think is what is a must when you go into Starkville.
Yeah, I think that's very fair, you know, and the same thing applies on this side of the game as well, that Mississippi State, after last season, it's going to be difficult to call anything a gimme game. You know, normally a MAC team comes to an SEC school, you think, well, that's probably going to be a pretty easy win. You can't feel like that if you're a Mississippi State fan. Talk me through this Northern Illinois team just a little bit, because it's obviously, you know, it's not one that I'm overly familiar with. I look at the depth chart, and there's not a lot of names that I know right off the top of my head. Who are the standouts Huskies for this upcoming year?
Well, looking on the offense, I mean, you have a lot of overhaul on that side of the ball. A new brand new coordinator, a lot of new position coaches there, as well as basically no offensive line, new receivers, and a new starting quarterback this year. Our starter last year, Ethan Hampton, transferred to Illinois. So right now, while it's not official who the starter is going to be, it's looking like it's going to be Josh Holst, who we saw start in the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. A lot more of a mobile quarterback than Hampton, and he's just about as experienced in the system as Hampton was when he took over last year. So I think we're going to see a bit of an upgrade in that department. But I think the real stars of the show are going to be the star of the show is going to be the running backs. And lean the way there after losing Ontario Brown and Gavin Williams, both very talented backs. Telly Johnson Jr., he was a true freshman last year. I think he ran for about 500 yards and four touchdowns, if memory serves. But he looks like he's going to be our top guy. And then behind him, you have guys like Jalen Poe, Chavon Wright, who we got from Charleston, who follows our OC, Quinn Sanders, who was the head coach over there. And then Romello Ware. I mean, this is a very deep backfield that Hammack has praised up and down. Receivers, we lose all three of our starters from last year, but we get some transfers, a lot of speedy guys. And with the scheme that our new OC is putting in, I think we're going to see a lot more passing than we've seen previous years, but it's also going to be a pretty balanced offense. I don't see NIU shifting away from the run game there. So expect to see a lot of carries this season, especially in the Mississippi State game. Then on the defensive side of the ball, a lot of turnover there as well. Lose most of your defensive line, your linebackers, corners, secondary, pretty much gutted. Your standouts there are going to be on the edges of the defensive line. Roy Williams and Jelani Williams are both back. Jelani being a redshirt senior, Roy being a senior. That is going to be a fearsome duo on the end there. And then when you kick inside, you have new guys. Looks like the transfers, Alvin Goley Jr. and Deshaun Dixon, are going to be taking up the spots on defensive tackle. And looking in the secondary, our new number one corner is going to be Jacob Finley. He's a guy who got about four starts last year, and he's a very talented corner who I think is going to be one of the better corners in the MAC. But obviously, this will be his first year as the new number one there. So it's basically seeing if he can, you know, hold up his own, and I think he can. At safety, although you lose Nate Valcarcel, Santana Banner, and Jordan Hansen, you have very experienced guys in there. Muhammad Jame is back. He looks like he's going to be taking the starting strong safety role. Cyrus McGarrell, another fifth-year senior along with Jame. He could be a, you know, in the rotational guy as a free safety because we get Jasper Buehler from Division Two, I believe. So he's going to be the new free safety. So defense, I think, has the stronger players like individually, but I think overall the strong unit we're going to see is the offense, because it's going to be a lot more fast paced, a lot more of an itch to score than maybe in years past.
I would be remiss if I didn't ask you, speaking of transfers, about two transfers from Northern Illinois who are out here in Starkville this season. What is Mississippi State getting with Rasheen Thomas and Nevaeh Sanders?
I mean, with those two guys, you're getting a lot of experience there. I believe both of those guys were here about 3 years, if I remember right. Rasheen Thomas, he was one of the top tacklers in the FBS, I believe, in 2023. And we missed most of him last season due to the injury, but when he was on the field, he was definitely an impact. But with guys like Jelani Roy here, I mean, it's hard to, you know, take too much time away from them. But you're getting a very experienced and a very talented pass rusher with Rasheen Thomas. And then Nevaeh Sanders, he was more of a third down pass rusher, if I can remember right. Good rotational piece to have, and he definitely was able to make an impact here. So it's a good asset for you guys on the defensive line for both of those guys.
When we look ahead to this game, obviously for Mississippi State, you know, it's coming off of an FCS week. I feel like State is always going to be on high alert, at least for like the next year or two, for any of these games. You, after what happened last year, you just, like I said, you just can't take anything for granted. From the Northern Illinois perspective, like we mentioned, they should come down here with a lot of confidence. Obviously, it's going to take a great game from Northern Illinois. Mississippi State will have to make some mistakes. That's just the nature of college football here. But when you think about this game, is this a game where Northern Illinois could make it 2 years in a row where a MAC team comes to Starkville and pulls off an upset?
I mean, I think it's possible. I mean, with this team, I mean, it's been talked about at least here. Like, you know, we're undefeated against Notre Dame. We're undefeated against Alabama. And, you know, we've gotten these, you know, these boneyard wins, as they put it. And, you know, obviously, as you mentioned, it's going to take Mississippi State making some mistakes, because although Mississippi State is regarded near the bottom of the SEC, it's still an SEC school. You have talent, and you've got a good array of coaches there that can make things happen. So if NIU wants, you know, walk away from Starkville with their 13th, I believe, boneyard win, they've got to, you know, play some mistake-free football. You can't have, you know, a slump of slow start with your offense, and your defense can't, you know, have any growing pains or, like, you know, adjusting pains. You've got to play clean, and that's what we did in Notre Dame. That's what you have to do at Mississippi State. There's no way around that.
We'll see what happens. Looking forward to it. Towards the end of September, week four between Mississippi State and Northern Illinois. Skylar Casillas, Northern Star, appreciate your time, man, and thanks for jumping on with me.
Thank you.
I will say this. If State handles Southern Mississippi easily, then any worries I have about this game go away. Mm. But that game is close. I'm going to be stretching this game until the end of it.
Yeah.
It's just that simple.
The first two games are just so massive for Mississippi State. I mean, I can just picture us coming in here and State's like 1-1 or something. And just like, it just feels like you're kind of like stuck in purgatory.
They'd be 2-1. They will play.
I'm just talking about like after the Arizona.
Yeah, okay, I got
like after the first two games, like, yeah. I can just picture it. And then you have to worry about, you know, you're going to be able to take care of Northern Illinois. I mean, mm-hmm. I do think that the first two games are going to tell us so much about this team. But you're right. If they lose that game to Southern, or if it's close, that's not a team I want to play. I mean, they're usually solid. Last year, they beat the team that played for a national championship. They have a coach that is, you know, viral. He's a guy that everybody's pulling for. He had a nice clip the other day about NIL and stuff like that. And so, you know, they're kind of like, they're not America's team, but a lot of people around the country are going to be pulling for them in that game against Mississippi State, because they're underdogs, are facing the SEC team on the road. They got a good story with this coach. You know, Mississippi State took a few of their players. That it's a game that you need to come out and handle business. I think they will, but you won't feel great about it if State doesn't take care of business in Hattiesburg, that's for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Because that's a program, they've been better than Southern Miss.
Yeah.
So.
All right, we need to get another opponent preview down us this week. We'll get Arizona State, and we'll talk about them later this week. All right. Tomorrow's show, who knows? Who even knows what we're going to talk about? We'll figure it out.
Whatever floats our boat.
Exactly. We'll find some more things that Robbie and I can claim ownership of.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't own many things. I don't even own my house.
Well.
So, like, we say we own stuff, mm-hmm. but do we really own it in America? I mean, I'm having to for the next 28 years pay for this house or something. So,
yeah.
I don't claim
ownership. Who was the guy on the message board one time said if you rent an apartment you're basically homeless?
Was that the guy during COVID
yeah.
that was like laughing at the poor's?
Yeah, that's him.
That was Kim 1970.
Okay.
On Gene's page.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said a lot of things like that.
I thought it was Muckle who was like if you
No, it was him. And then okay. if you ever kind of get smart with him back, mm-hmm. he would send you a long message and it'd be very passive aggressive and things like that. So
nobody sends me long messages. Of course, I don't really moderate a message board anymore.
Well, I get them all the time, buddy.
I had no problem publishing messages though. It's like, look at this idiot sent me. So
yeah, I get them all the time.
Yeah, I know you do. All right, we'll talk tomorrow. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk.
Self high five.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.